You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Harrison Fagan. We are both home from Las Vegas, though I feel exhausted. Harrison, you feel exhausted. You were there for 12 days, although you don't deal with quite as many variables out there in the land of... I'm not going to finish that sentence. But why are we so tired?
I, to be honest, do not understand why I'm so tired, because I, as you often make fun of me for, I'm kind of a square. I don't drink, I don't partake in really any vices, and so I don't know, I think I'm kind of drunk on good food and, or I guess bad for you food, and Lakers ball movement.
So your bowel movements and ball movements.
All right, now let's chill out. We may have to cut that part.
All right, so as always, what we're going to do today, we're just going to summarize what we saw out there in Las Vegas, what we heard out there in Las Vegas, what the difference was between this, you know, Las Vegas Summer League and prior ones. And then we're going to talk at the very end about the Kentavious Caldwell-Pope press conference that went on today, in which he said roughly 100 words. So before we get to all of that, make sure you're following the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Let's start with Summer League. And look, when I ask, the title of the show is going to be something along the lines of what was the difference between this Summer League and prior ones. The first thing everybody's going to point to is going to be, well, the success, right? They won Summer League. And before, you know, anybody jumps to the thoroughly original and just amazingly creative take that Summer League success and Summer League MVP is all meaningless, thank you for everybody who provided us with that earth-shattering take. I do think it means something. Like, I do think for an organization like the Lakers that has been so starved for any success whatsoever, getting the ball rolling with any kind of positive momentum is a nice way for Lonzo Ball's career to start. Harrison, am I going crazy here, or do you think this is one of those things where because the Lakers had any success, I'm happy for it, and had they not had any success, I'd have just said, well, it's just Summer League?
No, I think the column that you're talking about, where I believe someone wrote something like that Lonzo Ball's Summer League MVP was meaningless and Summer League MVP was meaningless, I actually don't disagree with Summer League MVP being meaningless, because you see the list of guys that have won it. It's some good players and it's some guys that have gone on to do nothing. But that doesn't mean that I think that Ball's performance and the way that he won MVP in Summer League is meaningless. I think that some are more meaningful than others, if that makes sense. I mean, I think rookies
winning Summer League MVP means something to me.
I don't know that necessarily it does, but I think that the way that Ball did it does mean something. The way that he was having success seems very translatable to the NBA. Sure, he's going to struggle more there than he did in Summer League because the competition's going to be better, but I'm higher on him as a prospect than I was coming out of Summer League than I was going into it.
Yeah, I would say the same. I think, you know, and there'll be plenty of times to analyze over the next couple months, you know, everybody's game and how so-and-so's game might translate from Summer League or from college or from last year to next year, whatever it might be. So we'll get to that, you know, in future shows. But I did want to touch on why this Summer League felt different. This is both of our third Summer Leagues that we've gone to. You were obviously there longer for all three trips than I was. But I thought this summer there was a lot more tangible anticipation in the air before every Laker game than there was in years past. And that was despite, like, in years past, like in D'Angelo Russell's first year, Julius Randle, I believe, played in his first ever summer league, right? And then in the year after that, you had Brandon Ingram and D'Angelo Russell playing together. This year, you had Ingram and Lonzo Ball playing together, but only for the first game. And from there on out, it was pretty much Lonzo Ball.
It was the Zoe
Kyle
show.
Kuzma. Yeah, but it was crazy to me that there was so much hype surrounding a team that was not nearly as good or not nearly as talented as years prior. And, you know, maybe success played a part in that. But I think it's also worth discussing how a less talented team did have the success that they had compared to years prior. Do you have any theories on that?
Any theories on why they had more success?
Yeah, like this year's team, if you look at the roster that this year's team put out there compared to the last couple of years, it's not as good a team. I don't think that's even debatable, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were definitely better than last year's team. Last year's team, I think you can compare it in terms of how they started. Last year's team, well, not really. Actually, last year's team got off to a more successful start. This year's team looked like they were going to be done after two games. They had lost the first two games, and then Ball, Ingram, Kuzma, Hart, Dozier went down. Like, all those guys were out. I think I'm blanking on. So who else sat out that third game? It doesn't really matter. There was one more injury in that third game. It just looked like they were done, and there were reporters who went home and just said, hey, like, Lakers Summer League is over. And Alex Caruso, the Lakers' new two-way contract guy and confirmed Didi, went ahead and beat the Kings single-handedly. Like, De'Aaron Fox had to duck him in the second half and go sit out. And
did you call him a Didi?
Yeah.
It's a deity, I think.
I don't know. Agree to disagree.
A diety is like a diet, and then with an E at the end. But anywho, but no, I'm saying...
Thanks
I'm
for
saying
interrupting that, my train of thought for that. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Has been the latest segment of Harrison does not understand how to pronounce words.
We need to put together a list of these words. But I do want to, like, because, look, what I'm saying or what I was saying from the get-go was that this year's team wasn't as talented as years past, yet they had more success. They got the fans behind them more than in years past. Like, I'm trying to figure out where that might be coming from. I think some of it might be coming from a new front office, a new regime, that change might have kind of bolstered the fan base and said, all right, we'll get behind Magic. We'll get behind Pelinka. We'll see where this is taking us. Maybe some of it comes from Lonzo Ball being a local kid and, you know, playing from UCLA and coming in with all the crazy hype that he came in with. Thanks to his dad. Like, I'm trying to think of what it might be that had this team resonating with the fans like years past didn't, and it's kind of hard to pinpoint on any one thing over any other things, because it's never just one thing, but I can't figure out what, like, the key factor might be.
I think it's a couple things in conjunction. I think, number one, it's Ball already having a really big built-in local fan base in LA from his time at UCLA. He's a local kid. There's a lot of enthusiasm about him anyway because of his dad being very controversial and hyping him up and things like that. Like, Laker fans were already kind of Lonzo fans before this summer league even started. So I think that you could see that the first weekend. It was that he sold out the first summer league game in Las Vegas ever. On that first Saturday. And then I also think it was the way they were winning and the way that he was having success. That Ball movement style, the quick hit-ahead passes, Kuzma getting dunks, Kuzma hitting threes, Lonzo Ball finding guys all over the court, and just the way that they were playing is so much more fun to watch than the basketball that we've been given to watch the last couple of years. And so, to me, those are the main two things.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree, especially on the style of play. The style of play, because you had guys like Matt Johnson all of a sudden turned into the greatest shooter who has ever existed. You know, David Caruso went out there and went toe-to-toe with De'Aaron Fox.
Did you just call him Matt Johnson?
Is it Matt Johnson or Matt Jones?
Matt Thomas.
Matt Thomas. Jeez. Anywho, who am I thinking of? Anywho.
We've each messed something up so far now, so you can't even make fun of me anymore.
Poor Scott Chasen's probably like, he has his fist raised right now, because that was like his favorite player. But But like all these guys, you had a whole bunch of guys not named Ivica Zubac who were playing over their head, and it was just the style of basketball that, yeah, I completely agree. And then the other thing too that I think factored into the team success was this is now this coaching staff's second year, and as such, I think there's a little bit more understanding of what it might take to be successful. And an understanding of how to portray their message out to a team like that, you know, just like players learn a lot in their second year, one would hope that a coaching staff would learn a lot in its second year. So I think that played a factor as well. But look, I said it to you before the show. Last night, after the Lakers won their summer league title and everything kind of calmed down and you know, my Twitter mentions finally calmed down because I dared say that I thought it was stupid that somebody would, you know, go out of their way to say that somebody's accomplishments are meaningless. Like, once that all died down and I was getting ready to go to bed, I found myself saying, like, man, this kind of sucks. Like, we aren't going to watch Laker games for like a month or two, a couple months, and I haven't been able to say that about after a summer league in a couple years. After the, you know, in the last 2 years before this one, after summer league ended, I felt myself saying, oh, thank God, it's time for a break. Speaking of breaks, though, let's really quick, let's
maybe
throw
take a break. Let's see. Well, yeah, it's like a lottery.
Yeah, we'll see if we actually take a break. On the other side of this, though, we'll continue this conversation and go from there.
All right, thank you to whatever sponsor that may or may not have been, or if it was just an awkward silence, thank you to that. The other...
Silence is golden.
The point that you made that I did want to address was the coaching staff. And I think we both know and we're both aware this coaching staff does work incredibly hard. And although there has been some criticism over sets and stuff that they've run, I've seen that stuff on Twitter. And you talked about how they've grown from the first year to second year. And I do think that it's possible that they've grown in terms of giving out their message, but the stuff that Buschler was talking about, it was not like X's and O's type deals that they were trying to have success with. He gave us a quote. I'm going to read that. This is a direct quote from Judd Buschler. We don't even want to run sets. We have Lonzo.
Well, look,
that's amazing. Like,
I think there's something to it. Like,
I agree. Absolutely right. If you dig the quote itself sounds funny, but if you dig deeper into it, like he does say that they wanted to rebound, they wanted to get out and run, and that's exactly what they should be doing. That you don't get extra style points for drawing up a good set. If Lonzo Ball can get Kyle Kuzma a bucket 2 seconds into the shot clock, then that's worth just as many points as if they go and like they run around a curl and they get a nice little mid-range jumper or something.
Judd Buschler is a man after my own heart because when I go to Vegas, I don't want to work either. So like, I don't feel like he's out there saying, look, guys, I don't want to do my job right now. I just want you to get the rebound, get out and run. Even if we don't get a rebound, even if they make the basket, run faster and we'll get a basket that way. I just want to clear this up as quickly as possible and get back over to the craps table. If that's his message, then I can stand firmly behind that message.
I doubt that's his message, but but running the Lonzo is a pretty phenomenal quote.
I completely agree. I wanted to also kind of talk about your time out there in Vegas. Especially there last night, I wasn't there in the building for either of the last two games. Last night, it's the Summer League Championship. It's the first Summer League it's the first championship of any type either of I have been even, you know, indirectly involved with. What was the vibe
Lakers
like
too
there in the arena? Yeah, weird how that works out. But what was the vibe like in the arena while the Lakers were playing without their main guy and still won fairly handily?
So the arena was not as full as it was the first weekend just because it was a Monday. It's hard for people to make it out there from LA for a Monday night game, but it was still really enthusiastic for the Lakers. The people were singing na 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 hey 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 goodbye as they were getting ready to win the title. And it still set an attendance record for a Las Vegas Summer League final. And the other little note from that is that I can compare it to last year because I went to last year's championship game. And if I remember correctly, it went to overtime, although it might have just come down to the buzzer. And that atmosphere was like fairly dead. And it was probably objectively a better basketball game. But it just like it doesn't compare. People are excited about the Lakers, man. And that was kind of my biggest takeaway. I guess the other big takeaway that I'd have from it isn't really in terms of fans, but Kyle Kuzma is the truth. I mean, he's really good, and he's going to be, I'm convinced he's going to be pretty good for a long time. Like, I doubt this type of 3-point shooting keeps up, but if he...
Shooting 48? Or
yeah, 50, exactly. 40. Like, shocker, I don't think that's going to keep up. But if he can shoot, like, 35, that he's going to be really, really freaking good. And they're going to have to find minutes for him this year. And I don't know that they will need to do that this year because there's a chance he has some rookie struggles and he hits a wall when teams learn how to defend him a little bit better. But it's like I wrote this in my column on him towards the end of Summer League. He can only play the competition that's in front of him. And so mm-hmm. far, he's obliterated them. And the fact that he did so as the go-to guy, as the center of the Lakers offense without
especially
Lonzo
last
Ball
night.
In that championship yeah. game is, yeah, that's what I meant. That's my big take. Mm-hmm. That's incredibly promising for his future. And they're gonna have to find a spot in the rotation for him, possibly this year.
I think, you know, the stats or whatever, like, you know, Matt Thomas's, what was his shooting? His true shooting was like 80 or 68. It was something ridiculous. I think Synergy tweeted back at Silverscreen and Roll.
It was something. Both of them had absurd true shooting percentages last night. I don't remember the exact numbers.
But like, I don't think Thomas's stats and his success is going to carry over quite as well because, you know, he's a smaller guy and it's going to be tough for him to be as wide open as he was always wide open in the summer league. But I thought with Kyle Kuzma, like there's a phrase that shooting, you people who care about shooting use a lot, and it's about an easy release. Like when you think of Anthony Brown's release, you know, it had that hitch at the very top. The ball went slightly over to his right shoulder at the very top of a shot, and it made it look just a little bit more difficult to get the ball out of his hands on that release. And Kuzma is somebody who, when you think about an easy release, that's what you think about, is somebody who, you know, he has a nice smooth jumper and the ball just explodes out of his hand and he's able to get range without looking like he's straining to get that range out there. That's the kind of thing that carries over and gets me more excited about his success at the next level than any of his numbers. He has a nice shot and it translated well to Summer League.
And it's really quick is the other thing that I noticed. Mm-hmm. His release is really quick, which is going to help him against faster closeouts in the NBA. And I think the other thing is he's not the most talkative guy, but one thing that he will talk about is his kind of change in shooting. And one of the things that he told us after, I don't remember which game it was, but he was telling us what he's talked about, how he feels like the NBA 3 is easier for him than the college 3. And it's because the college 3 for him, he has to shoot it more like a free throw. Otherwise he overshoots it. And with the NBA 3, he can get his legs into it and he says it feels more comfortable. And so it was interesting that he feels like there's a tangible mechanical reason why he's shooting so much better right off the bat. And who knows, maybe this was just a random Las Vegas hot streak and we end up looking back on this as, oh wow, remember when we were all really excited about Kyle Kuzma? But I don't think it is. I don't think it's a desert mirage. I think this is for real. I think he's going to be really good.
Even if it is just like a random Las Vegas hot streak, like ask any group of guys who've been out there and had a hot streak for an entire weekend. Like, you never forget about that. So I'll always have Kyle Kuzma. We'll always have Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, I had a pretty hot streak myself this weekend.
There you go. There you go. I walked away with money in my bank account, so yeah, I'll take it.
Same here.
Any last thoughts before we move on to KCP's press conference and, you know, maybe his fit now that we've kind of had a little bit more time to think about what that might look like with the Lakers?
Well, Anthony, I do have a hot take.
Ooh, all right, let's do that.
All right, well, Anthony, you know, I really feel like what last night showed is that the Lakers are better off without Julius Randle, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, basically any lottery picks. They are just better off without these guys. I don't know. Tell me how many title rings that those guys were a part of winning. The answer is zero, right?
None.
Yeah. How many points did they put up in the championship game? Matt Thomas outscored all of them in Summer League Finals games all by himself last night. It's a disgrace. I think everybody in the Lakers scouting operation needs to be fired. Not because they found good late draft picks, but because they keep blowing these lottery picks on guys that clearly aren't helping the team win. I think the Lakers need to trade every single player that is in front of Kyle Kuzma in the rotation. They need to start Kuzma, Alex Caruso, Matt Thomas. It's going to be an unstoppable lineup of NBA players that like 90% of America is not aware exists. But they're the new Showtime. They brought it back. Harrison out.
I just have one quick question, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
How do you fire the same coaching staff that fired Kyle Kuzma, or that found Kyle Kuzma?
Details aren't important, Anthony. I mean, the reality is a bunch of other teams missed on him. I think that's what it is. But
so they drafted
this Ball guy. He goes out. He ducks De'Aaron Fox against the Sacramento Kings. And then, like the true coward he is, he refuses. He has some time when he's sitting out of the Summer League title game. He has time on his hands. He could have driven to De'Aaron Fox's house and challenged him to one-on-one to show that he is not a coward. But he just didn't do that. And so I don't think that he said he has mama mentality. Kobe would spit in your face, Lonzo, if you did not go to De'Aaron Fox's house and challenge him to one-on-one like a true psychopath.
How do you
That's
know
not
he didn't.
Mamba mentality.
How do you know he didn't, though?
He was at the game.
Well, like, he could have done it before the game or after the game.
I guess that's true. Maybe I think he just poked a hole in this whole thing. Now it's ridiculous. Now it's a ridiculous take.
Now it's out of the I can't even believe we wasted people's time with that.
Oh, man. I apologize to everybody for wasting your time with that trash. I've been right. Saving that one up for when they won a big game. I was going to do it about Ingram, and then, you know, they gave me the opportunity. Ball and Ingram are the new Ewing theory. Lakers are better off without them in Summer League. Asterisk.
I completely. I have to. I mean, there are no facts to the contrary. So we just gotta. All I see was facts.
Yeah.
Facts all right. Let's talk really quickly about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He is officially a Laker. He had his press conference in which Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka said a whole bunch of stuff, and he did not.
Oh boy, did they!
What was your favorite quote from either Magic or Pelinka? Because we know, like, and look, I don't know, KCP just may not be a talkative guy, and that's perfectly fine. Magic and Rob were perfectly happy taking up that mantle and running with it from there. So what was your favorite line from either Magic or Rob Pelinka?
So you did not watch the press conference, is that correct? You just kept up with it on Twitter?
Yeah, I was just kind of scanning Twitter.
Here is the there's no debate about what the best quote of the press conference was. Rob Pelinka, I'm just going to go ahead and read this. I guess I'll start, as I often do, with the story. I would venture to guess there's people in the room that are familiar with the stories in the Book of Genesis, where there was a time when the Israelites were wandering in the desert, and all of a sudden bread came down from heaven. That's kind of what today feels like for us to have KCP join.
Oh my god.
I swear to god that's real. I'm listening to this thing after I get home from Vegas, and I'm like, I was in the heat too long. I'm hallucinating. So I listen back to it again. That is an 100% real quote from Rob Pelinka. So Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is the figurative bread in the Lakers desert of a deserted offseason. Boom.
I just want either Spectrum or, you know, Pelinka is more than, you know, welcome to come on the show. I just want story time with Rob Pelinka.
This brought to you by the man who called Kobe Bryant the Michelangelo of friendship. So
he doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be about basketball. It could be about literally anything.
He's real life Chris Traeger.
Like, could you imagine if, like, you know, what it sounds like when his wife asks him to describe, you know, like, lunch?
No, that's what I'm saying. She asked him, like, what he wants for lunch, and he's like, I guess, you know, I'm a storyteller. And the reason that I feel like like a buffalo meat hamburger today is it reminds me of the time when I was thinking about the time that Kobe and I went bison hunting, and the way that he tackled and killed that bison with his bare teeth,
bare hands,
was the most inspiring thing I have ever seen in my entire life. Kobe is literally a Black Mamba. He shoots venom in everything.
Yeah, exactly. Have you thought at all about how KCP fits with the Lakers?
Do you want me to follow that up with how he fits with the Lakers?
I mean, we promised it, so I think we should maybe touch on it a little bit.
I don't know that I could top Rob, but
I can't either.
No, there's no way. It's not possible. But I do think that I think he fits well with the Lakers. We talked about this a little bit on Friday. I think he's as good of a signing as they could have gotten at this point in the offseason. I don't think that I think he's getting overhyped a little bit. In all seriousness, with the I think the bread in the desert thing is obviously like he's just complimenting it. He's using hyperbole to compliment KCP. But you know, Magic Johnson kind of halfway comparing him to Michael Cooper, and the way that Lakers fans have reacted to the sign, I think we're setting this guy up to be a little bit of a disappointment, because I don't think that he's going to live up to, I think expectations have gotten too high. I think he's a very good signing. I think he's the best signing they could have made, but I think expectations have gotten a little bit out of control for what Caldwell Pope actually brings to the Lakers.
We should have ended with the bread in the desert thing.
Okay. Well, sorry.
No,
I mean, is that fair?
You're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right. But I do want to say, like, the reason, because look, you and I had we had our hot take back and forth, or however we analyzed the signing at the time, and I was closer to being really high on this signing, but it had a lot more to do with the fact that the market did dry up. Like when Pelinka talks about...
Yeah, it's a perfect signing for what they had.
Yeah, when Pelinka was talking about finding bread in the desert, he's talking about how few options there were out there. When you're walking through there was nothing else that they could have possibly done, and they went out and they got, you know, the best player on the market at that time. You know?
Yeah, so, there was bread, and then there was camel poop that it, like is Rajon Rondo is the camel poop in this analogy.
I hope Rajon Rondo, because he seems like the kind of guy who would like take notes, or his buddies would like tell him about things that are being said to him. I hope he brings up you calling him camel poop at some point.
Figurative camel poop.
In the Lakers play.
It's respectful as long as I say figurative.
I think in terms of what he brings to the table, look, his shot isn't where people think it is, right? He shot, I think, 33 or 35% from three. So he's not this knockdown. What's that?
It's 35.
Yeah, so he shot 35% from three. So he's not like this incredible knockdown shooter that people might be expecting. I think people should be careful analyzing his defensive numbers. I've seen quite a bit. Quite a few people out there talking about how he isn't the defender that people necessarily think he is. I think that has a lot to do with playing on a Detroit team that did not give a single bleep last year.
And defending the best player every time.
Yeah, and exactly. So like, I think the Lakers are going to care a lot more about defense this year than the Detroit Pistons did last year. So I think that, you know, that might help him a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think he's an okay player. And they signed him to the absolute perfect contract that they could have possibly signed him to, aside from giving him like a 1 year minimum. But this is the best situation that this could have turned into. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's the best player that the Lakers could have possibly hoped for this offseason.
He kind of is the best player that they could have hoped for this offseason, but we just
given
can't...
Given their constraints, sure.
Yeah, exactly. And
I'm talking about, like, they could have... technically speaking, the best player the Lakers could have gotten this year is if they could have... I mean, who was the best player on the market to start? Was it Drew Holiday?
Kevin Durant,
yeah. So, like,
if we're going really technical.
Yeah, so, like, if we really want to go there, we could say that, yes, the Lakers idealistically would have wound up with Kevin Durant. That was never going to happen. And then
guys on one-year deal, sure, he's probably the best they could have gotten. I just think we can't go full Pitbull and just start shouting playoffs and stuff like that, which to their credit, Magic and Pelinka did not today. They just talked about how they wanted the team to defend. They wanted them to be exciting to watch. Magic was saying that I thought it was interesting that he told the media that you weren't going to want to miss Laker games this year, as if that wasn't their job to not miss Laker games. But
Bill Plaschke's like, damn it, he knew.
Yeah. Yeah, I did think that it was the one of the things that stuck out to me most from the presser today was how much they were thanking Rich Paul and Clutch Sports, which again, we can put on our tinfoil hats here for a second again, and I still feel like that's the biggest part of this signing, is that now they can have unlimited contact with LeBron James's agent the whole next year leading into next summer. So if you're one of the people that thinks that they have a legitimate chance to sign LeBron, this kind of helps your case.
Look, the quote, or I don't know if it's a direct quote. I definitely don't have the direct quote in front of me. But when Magic or Raw basically said that Rich Paul noted that the Lakers are maintaining their cap space for next year.
Like, yeah, exactly. Everybody's connecting dots.
Yeah, I mean that. I had multiple people say like, "Holy crap!" And they're perfectly right to do that. I think it's perfectly fair to say like, "Hey, this is interesting. How much dialogue seems to be taking place between player and agent, but not about agent's player." Yep. Like, poor KCP's like, "Hey, are you guys ever going to talk about me in these meetings?"
They
like,
did very little talk about KCP at his presser today.
Like,
towards the second half, it was mostly about, like, so, when are you guys going to add other free agents?
But that was about like, filling out their roster, right? But
heading into
next year is the stuff. I mean, they can't answer those questions because you can't talk about players that are currently signed to other teams. But I do think it's fair to speculate at this point.
Unless they're Paul George, apparently.
Yeah, Tim Bontemps wrote a piece today about how many executives thought it was interesting that LeBron James showed up at a Lakers game and sat courtside to watch Lonzo, and then tweeted about Lonzo's shoes after the game about wearing Nikes, you know, and I think it's interesting that, you know, the Lakers now have, like you talked about, this direct dialogue with Rich Paul, who is LeBron James' agent. And look, there is zero way to force the Lakers to have these conversations about only KCP. Like, there's no way that the league can say, wait a second, you're talking about LeBron James. Like, that's these backroom board meetings are a great way to develop inroads that, you know, the last regime, Mitch Kupchak was the last Boy Scout. Apparently he was just hard pressed and he had a hard line stance on what the Lakers would not do in regards to tampering. Magic and Pelinka seem a lot more willing to go there. And look,
Magic
frankly,
went on national TV and talked about Paul George.
Yeah, like, frankly, as a fan, I'm perfectly happy with it. I don't care.
They should skirt the rules as much as they can. That's smart.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying, basically, is the way I go about sports. So, like, if you guys ever want to play me one-on-one, just get ready for the occasional elbow to, like, the gut and stuff.
I'm just going to say, maybe don't announce that as your motto right when you come back from Vegas from, like, a week. I'm not sure your wife's going to be the happiest about that, but, you know.
She's sitting right next to me
That's your problem.
Not mine. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right, well. On that note, I think I should end this podcast and maybe perhaps start packing my bags. Any final notes before we get everybody ready to we'll talk about on Friday. We'll talk about, you know, maybe some larger scope thoughts about where the Lakers kind of go from here. I think the most important thing that I wanted to make known in this show is the difference in excitement level from, you know, last year, the year before that, comparing those years to where the Lakers currently sit right now, whether it's Magic, whether it's winning the Vegas Summer League title, whatever the reason might be, there is a tangibly more positive vibe around the Lakers right now, and it's freaking cool. Like, I'm enjoying it a lot.
Everybody should be more excited. There's a lot of reasons for positivity right now. That Summer League I think literally went as well as it could have gone, other than maybe a little bit of the injury stuff with Lonzo and Josh Hart. It would have been nice to see him play a little bit more, but that's quibbling. Like, for Kuzma to show as much as he did, and Bryant, before he got a little banged up, to show as much as he did, and especially Lonzo to just go out there and dominate and set the tournament on fire and win MVP and become basically a viral phenomenon during all of those games, those are the big things, and that's huge for the Lakers going forward as they look to rebuild with the players that they have and as they look to recruit players that they don't have.
I mean, look at this. Look at the Lakers starting five right now. As it currently stands, you have Lonzo as the point, KCP at the two, Ingram at the three, Randall at the four, and Brook Lopez at the five.
Who gonna stop that? Playoffs a strong possibility.
In the Western Conference,
that was like an inside joke for like three people.
in the Western Conference, that's not gonna get it done. I don't think playoffs talk should start anytime soon. But that is a respectable roster. That's a respectable team.
That's a totally average starting five. That's average to above average. That's good, and that's better than what the Lakers have had.
And the pieces fit. Like, yeah. KCP is a defender alongside Lonzo Ball makes a ton of sense. Randall and Lopez make a ton of sense, as, you know, with Lopez stepping out and being able to hit threes and Randall being able to just wreak havoc the way he wreaks havoc. And then Lonzo, just period. That's the one thing that everybody has to be able, like, even Snotty Drippin would have to sit there and say, Lonzo Ball makes players better. And it's really exciting to be able to look at a starting five that makes sense and see what Lonzo Ball will be able to do with it. I'm on the record as to say that I think he challenges for the assist title this year, so long as he stays healthy. I think it'll be something fun to watch throughout the year. We haven't been able to say that since you and I have had a podcast.
We've said it going into the year every year and then been proved wrong. And so maybe that trend will break this season.
Oh, I don't know if I like.
Is that a gut punch? I'm sorry.
No, going into last year, I don't really recall being all that excited about it.
Check the tape, everybody. Anthony was excited.
I don't know. Not like this. I'd say not like this at the very least. But anywho,
and people around the league are excited about Lonzo. You mentioned the LeBron thing, and then we just saw Dwayne Wade tweet just now as we're recording this that somebody tweeted at him that he should send Lonzo a pair of his shoes, and he just said he's a big baller. He can get and wear whatever he pleases.
There you go.
So, like, guys are NBA players are talking about Lonzo. Like, it's a thing. He's in a way that they haven't been openly excited about and buzzing about a Lakers prospect in quite some time.
Yeah, I completely agree. All right, so that does it. We'll get everybody ready. We'll record again. We'll have a show for everybody on Friday. We're going to, as we are now officially in the doldrums of the off season. We are going to try to make these shows as interesting as we possibly can. If you have any type of show ideas, show content ideas, send
them
to
iTunes reviews, 5-star review, and we check those a lot more frequently than anything else. And also, way back Wednesday, yep. We have skipped the last 2 weeks because there haven't been enough suggestions. So go ahead, send in those 5-star reviews with a way back Wednesday suggestion, a player you want us to talk about next week, or, you know, just a topic in general that you want us to talk about. 5-star iTunes review, that's the best way to reach us for this stuff.
And this is the last thing I'll say. We promise we're working on the audio quality. We're back home. We aren't in these hotel rooms, so that was a factor. Harrison got a new mic. I'm currently researching new mics. We're going to continue to work on that. We promise we've heard you. So we'll carry forward from there. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you on Friday.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.